Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast where you'll find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiodini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We are podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. First things first, last week, I ate very well. We had 3 chefs in studio. Thank you, chefs, Josh Bernstein, Stephen Hicks, and of course, the Jefferson Starship, the chef, Jeffrey Schlissel. Y'all brought the goodies. Speaking of goodies, the Porch Meadery and Market, so glad we linked up on that dinner collab. Y'all got to go back, listen, watch, keep an eye out. Thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's production. Chefs in the Central Florida area, Peninsula is the largest distributor of Creekstone Farms beef in the Southeast USA, complete with a fully staffed butcher shop to help solve your kitchen inconsistencies. Yeah, that's right, baby. Check out their dry age program, too. Okay, so our guests, man, you know, it's 2 weeks in a row, bunch of chefs in this place. Tell you what, our guests this week, chefs Lance Cook and Jason F. Lynn. There was an ACF-sanctioned cooking competition this past weekend. These guys are culinary studs. Stay tuned. Chef Lance and Jason are on deck. Jeff, my man, the man. Oh, yeah. It's free shift time. You know what that means. Pop the clutch, my brother, and make it happen.
Oh, yeah, man. There's a special treat. So we had a meeting in Miami. We met this wonderful company called Rack Porcelain, and they do dishes. And they sent this beautiful dish. And John was like, hey, what are you going to do with this? Can you do dessert? And I was like, no, I was going to do a taco. So there was an extra added feature today. It was coffee cake. Mm-hmm. And it was... we're going to do a tiramisu riff on that one with some coffee toffee brittle. And then we're going to have a tiramisu mousse in the middle of that as well. And then we're going to pay homage to school lunch. We're going to be doing a short rib kimchi mozzarella corn dog.
I never had that in school.
Neither did I. So I'm just kicking it up a notch. Okay. As I've been told, chefifying it.
Yes.
And then we're going to do some stuff for May 5th. It's Cinco de Mayo. We have a little lengua. So a little smoked tongue in the house. And then we have some mole chicken that we're going to do some stuff to as well. And I can't wait to get to these pictures too, because these are going to be really nice pictures.
Smoked tongue.
Smoked tongue.
I felt the collective audience just shut the episode off. But I, you know what? I'm going to try it. John, I think, is going to give it a shot too. No.
Jason's going to.
Of course, yes. Yeah. No, listen, I'm down for whatever. So we're gonna make that happen. What else you got?
We just have, so the chicken is going to be different, two different ones. We're going to do a hoagie one, and then we're going to do a entree with the mole chicken.
And the corn dog mix, that's from Flossie's.
Yep.
What's up, Alex? Yeah, from Flossie's, finally.
Yep. So I wanted to do something, and what was waiting for the prime time, and this was definitely the one where it was like, we're the national day. It's the National School Hero Day. So I was like, oh, let me just do something like would be school-ish.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, like I said, chefifies it. So the short rib is split in half, and then I did it that way and froze it.
Well, I'm going to grade you just as in same school, right? We'll see if you get
okay. I thought you were going to grade me like I just happened in the past weekend on Sunday.
You're going to get another C today. Okay.
I'm okay with that.
All right. That works out really good. I do want to touch on how the scoring system kind of works a little bit for these competitions. And so today, there's three chefs. All three of these fellas were in this competition in Hastings, Florida. And, you know, I'm not a chef, right? But I've never been in a sort of a competition like that. And I'm sure there's like a lot of nerves. You're being critiqued by peers. And there's a whole lot that goes into it. And that is the focus where I want to go today. You know, it's the more the pre getting into it. And we can touch obviously on the event itself, but I want to get into that. Like, what's in your head? How you feeling? Is it pre-fight? You know, like you get nerves, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Lance is the professional.
Okay.
Because Jason and I, this is the first time we went into an ACF sanction event.
So you guys are a couple of newbies.
Yeah. We popped something on Sunday.
I'm surprised Lance even came on the show. You know, he's...
he's going to school us. That's why.
You know, kind of a...
Lance, why don't you chime in and give us some of your background.
I looked at... So it's funny because I was going to bring this up. I have Chef Lance's bio. And I'm like, you know, halfway through, 45 minutes later, I'm like, oh my God, I can't even do this anymore.
Is it Superman or is it Lance?
Accolade after accolade after accolade after accolade. Oh my goodness. All right. So without further ado, Chef Jason, Chef Lance, welcome to the show. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thanks for having me. I wish I was there in the studio. You guys are making me hungry.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of great stuff here.
He saw pictures too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent food porn pictures to both of them. Lance goes, "What are you trying to make me go 5-hour drive?"
Yes. Yeah, we're doing. Man, that coffee cake is right. Yeah. By the way,
good coffee cake. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
And the brittle too, man. That's going to go on the plate. Yeah.
Right. Wait until you try the ganache.
All right. So listen, I had nothing to do with the participation in this last event. Why don't you, Jeff, go ahead, kick it off, baby.
Oh, so Hastings is this really small town. There's only about 1,300 people. I heard on Saturday they had over 2,000 people there. So they had lawnmower race. This town is like, it had one light in it, like a traffic light. I'm not kidding you. And it was, what they did was, it was the Potato Cabbage Bacon Festival, and not many people know this, but at one point in time in the United States, this was the potato capital of the world in Hastings, Florida.
Yeah. I did not know that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. In fact, the building we were in was the Ford Motor Company building where they actually built Ford motor cars.
No kidding.
Yeah. And they're trying to revitalize that whole area, and it's beautiful. It's got a lot of bones to it, you know, they're really nice. You know, you're in Florida, but you're not in Florida. It's South Georgia. Let's put it that way. Yeah. But it was just a lot of fun to be up there. The night before they had an event. So they had one of the girls who actually is going to come on, by the way, she won the Dr. Seuss. She was one of the finalists in the Dr. Seuss Bake Off. She's been on Chopped Sweets. in another show. So she, I was talking to her, but they had some really good culinary talent that was around besides Art Smith, which is just great to see Art Smith and have the conversation with Art.
Definitely.
We started like sharp. We did like a 5 minute delay. Each one of us, when we did the actual contest or the competition, what was really strange was this group is a category KG, which is a really very difficult one because you're no electric. At one point, we didn't have fire, so we didn't know how we're going to cook. We didn't know if we're going to have ovens. So the day of, we found out we had an oven. We had fire, so we were really able to do that. We couldn't have battery operated on. That's right.
Yeah, technically, it was no battery, no electricity.
Yeah. No fans, no air conditioning. No running water.
All right, but so how many people are in the competition?
Well, the garden hose had running water out back.
This is like my upbringing and just drinking off the hose outside.
I think Chef Lance wore the same pair of gloves the whole competition. That's why he got a better medal. I didn't even see him change his gloves once.
Wow. Okay. I used the water hose. Yeah.
Okay.
The Chef Lance actually did it with one arm tied behind his back, the KG category.
That would have been great to do that, like a competition like that.
So it was three chefs all day?
Yeah, three of us. There was a lot of people actually watching.
Yeah?
Yeah.
About the event, guys. Come on.
We were told there was going to be like...
See, if I was there, I would have had notes. I would have all this stuff.
No, we were told there was going to be like 15 people there, and there was more than that. I mean, half the national office was there.
Yeah.
One of the new membership directors was there. Kiwi from the office was there. Yep. So it was really cool to see all them there. But then there was the actual people that were there for they had a market. I think the whole block was blocked off. And Chef Amadeus, one of our friends, was there too.
Did you secretly hate each other? Like, right? I know y'all know each other.
No, I mean, I went in with, I'm okay with losing to Lance. I'm just being real here.
Because you were sending me texts.
If I said, I lose to Jeffrey, I might be a little mad.
Yeah, he sent the same text.
Chef Jason was sending me like, hey, I'm going to beat your boy. I'm going to kick his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was a good thrashing. Let's put it that way. But it's fun because, you know, listen, if, you know, I'm 53 years old. And I've competed in different events, but no one can tell me now you've never competed with the ACF. Yeah, I did. It's nerve-wracking because you have people that are your peers that have been in the culinary industry that are different. So you're graded differently. You know, you walk in with 100. Everything you do from the time you walk in from the 100 to the time you get your medal is what happens. You know, and that category is difficult because you don't have a heat lamp. You don't, like, he used...
Jason, are you going to go there?
Hold on a second.
They might take my medal away.
No, you used an electric wok to use as a bain-marie to keep his mashed potatoes hot.
You said you weren't going to bring up the electric wok, Jeffrey.
Lance. All right, Lance. Okay, so clearly I'm losing control of the show right here in the living room. All right, so Lance, when you show up, you look at these two guys and you say, I'm going to kick their ass. Right? That, like in your head, that's what you're thinking, right?
He was already thinking that
Lance already won before he got there. I mean,
okay. Lance, walk me through it. Like, how are you preparing for this? Because for me, I think it's like a mental, it's very emotional, mental. Like, you know, you're getting prepared for a fight almost. Is that, walk us through it. What was the feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I want to start off by saying that, you know, the two guys there, like, you know, Jason and Jeffrey, you know, hats off to you guys for putting yourself out there. You know, that's a huge step just to be able to say, hey, I want to go into this competition and I want to do it, because a lot of people stop at that point and they say, hey, I'm not going to do it because I'm scared of the outcome. You know, I don't want to hear the critique. And so hats off to you guys. Like I truly enjoyed, you know, competing with you two, and it was awesome. And so the more competitions you do, the more relaxed you are, but it's all about preparation. You got to be prepared. And so practice your routine, no matter what the category is. And like Jeffrey said, you know, it's KG, so you can't use batteries. You can't use electric. You can't, you know, so you have to kind of look at your routine and say, hey, how can I change it up and accomplish a great product that the judges are going to taste? So
what is KG?
You know,
that's a category that they use, whatever their category is.
Yeah, so it means sustainable, green, and local.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, with sustainability comes, you know, hey, you can't use the battery operated, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it definitely is more difficult than a normal competition. So even for these two gentlemen to go into a competition and then have these restrictions, that's not typical. You know, typically it'll say you're given two whole ducks and you have to make four plates. Have at it. And, you know, one pork loin with the chine bone removed, rib bones are still in it, and you have four portions. So it's very specific on a lot of the competitions. This one just kind of took a different direction as far as the being specific.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So, KG, sustainable, they brought it back to like 1870, right? Like there was like, okay, this fire. Campfire. Like, all right.
Literally butane fire.
Okay. And how did this is something where you're all are competing individually or all at once? Simultaneously, I should say.
There was a 5 minute. They didn't want everybody to come up. So here's the thing. One of the judges had to leave by a certain time. So they wanted us to start with a 20 minute interval. So one would go, and then 20 minutes later, another one. So that when they would put the plates up, they would be able to taste and critique. They went to five. So I started first, 5 minutes. Then Jason started 5 minutes after me, and then Lance was 5 minutes after Jason. We then laid down, obviously 5 minutes past each one. Then they critiqued us, and then they gave the awards out. I have to tell you that, you know, Hari, who was the guest chef, he put this together. He wrote this because originally it was in DeLand because he wants to showcase the American Culinary Federation and then the farmers. So he was trying to do that. Mm-hmm. Kudos for them to doing it. I think it was like 2012. And I think
it was the last one.
2014 was the last one. So this has not been done in that long. It's been about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So when they revamped it and kind of brought it from its wherever it was, you know, they reached out to Jason and Lance, and then they reached out to me, and I'm like, yeah, no problem. I got to be like what Lance said. He's you got to practice. It was my sixth time doing that dish. I did it Friday night.
Lance, how many times did you do your dish?
Zero. No, I'm just kidding.
Smack him.
No, that was probably my fourth time making it.
Okay.
The competition.
All right.
Jason,
this is first.
Yeah. Yeah. First time. Yeah. So I just talk about me for a quick second. I was a little unprepared. So I came in not quite prepared. Lance is like, where's this? Where's that? I'm looking at him like, yeah, I don't have any of that. I got my press and seal wrap. I look over at Lance. He's got three brand new third pans lined up, you know, standard breading procedure, you know, your flour, your egg, your breadcrumb. I'm taking a piece of press and seal my wife gave me trying to save a buck. And I'm dragging it out on the table and putting like a pile of flour. You know, I got, you know,
I looked over.
I'm using styrofoam bowls in the green category. I got plastic spoons, you know, so I definitely got some education in that category, especially.
All right. So just so the audience understands, it wasn't that it was necessarily a competition between the three of you, like a first, second, third place. You're competing against yourself from like, you know, gold, silver, bronze, or not even placing and getting like a zero goose egg. So the reality is all three of you, you know, of course, Lance, you know.
Yes, he got the higher one.
Lance lanced you guys pretty good.
Mm-hmm. He got he silvered us.
He did. He totally silvered you all over. So what ended up happening here is you all placed, though, which is really great.
Yeah.
I told I gave Jeff a very specific instruction. Don't come home without gold. You know, you're out there, you're, you know, walk and talk. You're right. You're doing your thing.
And he was Mick.
And you dare.
He was Mickey from Rocky.
You're a bum. I was like, you know, you came home with like this bronzy colored looking thing. I'm like, what the hell is this?
It really looks like a copper metal. Yeah, it's like
an off. Here, Jason's know, wearing his, by the way.
I'm actually, yeah, I am wearing mine, you know.
John,
we got to take pictures of him with this.
I literally walked into the studio today and he's like, where's your metal? I'm like, I'm not bringing my metal. He's like, what? Why not?
So speaking of medals, though, Lance, when you shared your photo proudly displaying, you know, the placard they made for you at the cook-off, and then in the background, I see like 10,000 medals hanging. I see the copper looking, or I mean bronze, the bronze looking one, and then I see many of the shiny ones that we all want.
Are you throwing the? Are you throwing the bronze ones away now, Lance? Yeah, you just throw them in the trash.
That's what I said. Coming in the house.
No, he's melting them down, getting the money for them.
but I will tell you this, you know, so I've competed probably 20 plus times, and I will say where I've learned the most from is my three bronze medals. And one of them was a wax competition. It was cold food preparation where you actually have to, it's hot food prepared hot and then presented cold. So you have to glaze it with aspic and all that. And so I hadn't done that since, you know, when I graduated in CIA in 96. And so I said, I want to jump back into it. I want to do this. And so again, it's taking the fear out of it and saying, hey, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, I learned a lot through that process. And I had Gerald Ford, Master Chef, you know, come over to my table and critique it. And he said, I'm going to be brutally honest. And I was like, that's what I want you to be. I want you to be brutally honest because that's the only way I'm going to learn. And then, you know, another bronze medal was when I did Chef of the Year a couple of years ago. And I had a co-me. We practiced probably for 2 months every single Monday. So a good 8 practices in us. And, you know, when it came down to it, she froze and she got stage fright. And she says, Chef, I got to go. And I was like, right now? Yeah. She's like, yep, I got to go. Wow. And so I learned some things through that process. I still got a bronze, you know, which is good. And, you know, I learned some things and said, hey, what would I have done differently and approached it in a different way? So, you know, the three bronze, they actually mean more to me than all the golds. Sorry.
Thanks, Lance. That makes me and Jeffrey feel better.
All the golds.
It's true, though.
I want to go on record. I was happy enough walking out of there with a medal.
Yeah, me too.
Know,
yeah,
that just, you know, you definitely, when you put yourself out there and you're doing what you do every day. And it's funny because the judges asked me, like, what was your theme? I'm like, I wanted to cook the food I wanted to eat, bottom line. And whether I got a medal or not, I knew walking away that that's my food. You know, hats off to, by the way, Happy Tales, Vicky Webster. She reached out immediately when Chris put out there that he was looking for something. And we had a Cooney pig. Ironically enough, it was the one I actually fabricated. So that was cool. Then she got the bacon for us. And then the secret ingredient, you guys are going to love this one, sour oranges. Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was perfect for mine because I had bourbon and mine with smoked maple syrup. And I just kind of...
Oh, man, it was so perfect for that bronze, man.
You know it was.
It's going to give me poop.
He squeezed it over it didn't tarnish the bronze medal.
You didn't tarnish it. Orange. It's nice. Yeah.
Here's the other reason why I'm happy I placed... These two gentlemen are going to go for their Master Chef. Mm-hmm. And to be in that, you know, competition, just competing, but competing with people that are going that right way, that's huge.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This whole critique, being critiqued aspect, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you're competing and, you know, like you've got, you know, Lance Cook and Chef Jason over here, you know, I said it before, they're culinary studs. Mm-hmm. And the reality is each one of, and Lance included, I'm assuming, but each one of you getting the butterflies going into this.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
Because.
No, for sure.
Right? I mean, you're
going to
have your peers. It's not just because you have the judges, right? The judges are chefs. And then the three of you are judging each other in some aspect as well.
Oh, they were judging me way before the competition.
We judge you every week. You know what I mean?
I was texting Lance a couple of weeks out. We're both ACF guys. This guy's got to fail. We're going to trip him, unplug his stuff, blow his burners out, whatever.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
But the funny thing is I bought two brand new butane burners and I pulled them out of the box and one didn't turn on. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Right out the gates.
Right out the gate. I just took the torch, put the thing on, and they're like, oh, you got the big torch. I'm like, yeah. And it lit. So you got to be ready for anything when you're doing these competitions. There was no art. There was no hand sanitizer.
Well, hey, let's talk about one topic, too. And it shows, like I said, how little I know is that Lance, you know, he has all of his beautiful little pint containers with his perfect brune washout as he approaches. And Jeffrey's got like half the product in his cooler. You know, he's already like picking out the prime pieces of
the, you guys got the prime pieces.
So anyway, I'm a little upset about that. But anyway, but going on, I'm over here like prepping all my meats. I'm peeling potatoes. I'm choppy, choppy, cutty, cutty. Like I'm actually cooking. These guys are just dumping containers into pots and pans.
Wow.
Wait, wait, wait.
wait.
No, and I get it. I get it.
Who was making the most noise when Chris was trying to explain what the ACF was?
Well, you were. You were pounding.
Right. I wasn't. No, you two were pounding your meat. I was pounding
Everybody
cabbage.
Was pounding.
Yeah, I was doing cabbage. So I was literally facing the judges because I thought we had to face the judges when you were doing it. So I had my braising pan in the back to braise the cabbage because once that was on, it was... I didn't need to be in front of it. So I'm sitting there making a Bryn Mawr potatoes. I'm mashing my potatoes for the extra. I'm going the extra mile because I didn't want to have food waste. And I went first. And
yeah, I was afraid to throw anything away.
Right.
Because of sustainable. It was also the category. Exactly.
Right. Sustainable.
Like when I said, when Lance said you shouldn't have styrofoam bowls, I'm like, oh, my bad. I'm throwing them in the trash.
The best part of mine was we called Pactiv after our first farmer's dinner, and they gave me a whole bunch of samples for compostable stuff. And that's exactly what I bought. And I even showed Kari. I'm like, look, it's compostable. I didn't want to get dinged for that.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna call Chef Chris Tanner. And
you're gonna see him this week.
Hopefully, he doesn't listen to this. But
well, I'm gonna
he listens.
I'm gonna get with him. I'm gonna make sure you guys never hurt anyone again.
No, but let's be real. This is who they want. They want some new blood, right? We might be like in our 40s and 50s, but we're still new blood.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, here's the thing. You have to be judged. Whether it be a guest in your restaurant, a fellow chef, you have to figure out where you are. And that's the only way that's going to push you and drive you to be better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I wanted to compete against, especially these two guys, because these guys are upper echelon. When you're thinking about going, either you're out of your mind because you're going for MasterChef, or you want to do it. There's 70 MasterChefs?
Yes, a high 70s. Lance, you know the exact number on that? Like 78?
Yeah, it's between 71 and 74. Last I heard, it was 71.
And then how many master plumbers are there?
Like 250,000.
So, I mean, do you got to think about...
Hey, that's my line.
I know, that's why I was here.
I yelled that out at this show. Yes, I said, let's be real, people. There's 250,000 master plumbers, but there's less than 100 CMC, certified master chefs. It's a big deal. And it's not about ego. It really is about the humility aspect that I always bring up. A guy like Lance has gotten where he's at because he can admit that he's gotten the bronzes. He's had those, you get beat up and knocked down. There's the famous Rocky. You know, you can only get beat up so many times, you got to get back up. But some people, I think, stop. I think some people aren't okay with that critique. They stop and they move away from it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to stop.
Sometimes you just got to stop.
You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, but so...
But you got to stick with getting the punches, and you got to be human, you know, and be humble in it.
What, you have to always be forever the student.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I think that's his tagline.
That's my cheesy signature.
It is.
It's not cheesy at all. It's truth.
This is in marriage and in work and in life. It's everything. Forever the student. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah. Gotta
keep learning.
It was just another thing that we stole from him and used on the show.
Right.
Right. From Jason. Yeah. We're just taking all your material, buddy. Sorry.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Because I want to do some walk and talk. Culinary competitions, sponsored culinary competitions.
Sure. As long as I'm not competing, I'm fine.
Just invite Lance. Lance can't come to the first competition.
Well, then maybe Lance can judge.
Judge?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I'm in the compete or judge, either one.
You don't get a medal for judging, okay?
You get to eat, though.
Right.
Yeah. You get the pampered food there.
Yeah. Well, no, but Lance is moving away. We should bring that up too. Congratulations to Lance with his newly appointed position. That's a big deal, you know.
Yeah, and you got absolutely congratulations, and you got some ambassadorships, some new stuff going on too, man. Yeah,
I got ChefWorks that reached out to me to be an ambassador. Hexclad. I'm going to be on the Food Network on May 15th for one of the game shows, Supermarket Stakeout. So it was a cool experience, and I only did it, to see what it was all about and to see how it's produced. And it was intense. It was really intense. But yeah, I appreciate the congrats on the position. So I'm moving to North Carolina, and I'm going to be the director of culinary operations at Forsyth Country Club in Winston-Salem.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's congratulations, so cool. Man. Yeah, absolutely.
So Lance, now that you've competed with the ACF and you went on to a Food Network competition, and I know that there's non-disclosure agreements and stuff like that. What can you tell us of the differences between the prep for those two different competitions?
Oh yeah, completely different. So for ACF competitions, you get to know what the parameters are and you get to practice it as much as you want. You can practice it 0 times or you can practice it 100 times. When you're doing a Food Network challenge, it's there's so many variables. So the one that I did is the one where you're actually cooking in the parking lot. You got to walk up to the grocery store and buy somebody's cart and their groceries. I don't know how many people are coming out of that store. Yeah. I mean, you could get dog food.
You get the vegan cart, right? You're like, oh, I got the vegan.
Or the gluten free.
Oh.
Sorry, these are all from the show.
We're just
competition.
Kidding.
This is all from our competition.
I don't think you guys should be cutting off Chef Lance here. Okay, you shame on you.
Yeah, sorry. He got silver.
Well, yeah. Which is a step up over Bra. I'm just putting it out there.
Remember, you have to still eat.
I do. It's true. But I'm getting bronzed kind of food, man. There, like, I realized. I'm looking over at John, the producer. I'm realizing that, you know, we're getting C-level stuff here on the show. We need to be getting at least B and up, you know?
You got to pay.
Well, me. Lance,
Jeff,
can you tell
Jeff,
us
what you're out. Lance, you're in.
What was in the cart, Lance? Can you tell us that?
Actually, I can't talk about any of it.
You can't
honestly
tell us any, right?
No, just that I did it. I can start advertising that it's occurring, but that's about it.
Didn't you compete against somebody we might know?
Yes. Chef Rodriguez. He's in Tampa, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. Jonathan Rodriguez.
Our boy. Yeah.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great. He's actually going to be on next week.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's going to come.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have to discuss.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was last minute. It was actually.
No, someone's going to New Hampshire next week on the 9th. So we might want to do it the day earlier.
New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Well, tell that guy, you know, he should be making plans like that.
Oh, he's actually going to be coming down, and he'll be coming on the show, the one that you don't think exists.
He doesn't.
My imaginary friend.
It is your imaginary friend.
Keith Sarrison.
Keith Sarrison, yeah. I mean, listen, the fact that he liked a, and it was, you know, it's not like it was a post where it's there forever. No, it was a stories, right, on Instagram. And then it just disappears like it never happened. That's why I took a screenshot.
Yeah, but you know why he did that, though? Who was the story about?
I don't remember.
Robert Gonzalez.
Oh, right. Yep. Yes.
Oh, by the way, a big shout out to Robert Gonzalez. He actually made it to the semifinal. Actually, he's going to the finals for the spring championship. So congrats to him.
100% congrats to him.
To him, Nikki, and Steven.
Yeah.
So congrats to the three of them. Can't believe Alex got bumped, but that's the way things go.
It does. You know, it's the way the
cake crumbles.
The brittle.
He went the brittle.
Nice. That was pretty sharp. Like, yeah.
The brittle breaks.
Oh, that could be the new Brittle Break Cafe. You could open a new restaurant. Oh,
there we go. He's got a new restaurant going. Right there.
Just like that. Wow. Can we do it out of the house here?
Yeah.
Okay.
17 different flavors of brittle.
Listen, I feel like that would work. I would go there. I would totally go there.
Especially the honeycomb. Mm.
I would eat it. You understand? I eat it anyway.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lance, on your new role, what's the difference between what you're doing now at the current club, by the way, which is a gorgeous club, to the one that you're moving to?
Yeah, I think the big difference is just the membership's a little bit bigger. So 975 members instead of 775 here. And then just the longevity. The club has been around since 1913, has a ton of history, and but about the same as far as volume and staff and stuff like that.
Are you still going to be on the line cooking? Because you took a different role, correct? Or is it still cooking?
It's still cooking. So, yes, the role is director of culinary operations. But it's still going to be very hands-on. I'll be doing demos just like I normally do and doing, you know, expediting and stuff like that. So very similar.
When you meet the team over there, you know, your kitchen staff, do you bring like a wall display of all the medals and whatnot so they know who they're talking, like they know you, like they know what they're dealing with?
Not at all.
They already know them.
Stays at the house.
Lance has two LinkedIn profiles just for all of his certifications after his name. He's got the first one and the second one just continues on. So
they ran out of space.
I got friends that think I've done some stuff with my career, and then I look at Lance, I'm like, I haven't done anything, you know?
Did you see how many, like, the little three-letter words afterward, the three letters?
I was going to say he has to put on two chef coats.
I was going to, like, usually I do, I read off all that stuff, but I was like, man, there's no...
You have to Google them. There's so many.
There's no stop point. You know what I mean?
It's like it's the whole alphabet. It's A through Z on Lance's code.
Half of the
only nine certifications.
It's the
nine certifications.
The entire opening monologue would just be me rattling off what your certs are. Come on, man.
And if you, God forbid, you get one of them wrong.
Oh,
oh my God. He's a CECA8. No, I'm not A8. No, but I'm not that one.
You're going to have to delete the episode. Yeah.
We love you, Lance. We got to make fun of you.
Lance, right. you did mention wax. Can you go over for some of the listeners that don't know what wax is? Because I don't think Carl knows.
Yeah, when you are a member of the ACF, the American Culinary Federation, you are actually automatically a member of WACS, which is World Association of Chef Society, or Cook Society, however you want to look at it. And it's a internationally known organization. And so when you're getting a certification with ACF, like, it's recognized nationally, you know, within the states and all that kind of stuff. But when you're getting a certification with WACS, it's actually international. So I am a world certified master chef. And at the time when I did it, there was probably about 200 in the world. There's more now. But that's recognized if I go over to Europe, if I go on a cruise ship and stuff like that.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and that's who I competed against with Jason. Yeah.
What do you mean with Jason?
You're not with Jason.
Yeah.
Well,
the reality, Jeff.
World Master Chef
Jefferson.
I got a CDM, that's Certified Dietary Manager. I got that cert. I don't put that on my code anymore, but
you should. That's a big thing.
No, it is.
Yeah. But you know, Jeff, you compete against yourself, man,
all the time.
You know, and that's really, and that's your bar.
You know, damn right it is.
It isn't these other guys with all these different, you know, certifications and gold medals and, you know, any of that stuff.
No, my certification is MICKEY.
That's right. That's right. My goodness. Oh, my God. Oh, all right. So,
well, once again, Jeffrey is a member of a cartel. I did bring that up. I'm not a member of a cartel.
That's true, too. But here's what stings. I mean, it's all great news, Lance, what you got going on. Like, everything is fantastic. But I'll tell you what really stings. You're moving away, and you're not going to get a vacation for a while. And I'm, you know, I was thinking, like, oh, man, let's get Lance in here. You know, could, so ultimately, when chefs come to the studio, you know, it's tradition now that they cook a dish. You know, John, you know, he does his amazing food photography, and we do the whole, you know, roll out the whole red carpet here. And yeah, we're going to have to figure out how to get you here, man. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Yeah, I'm completely down with that. So we'll have to work it in for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but why don't you pick a date now while we're on air? No, I'm
kidding. January 12th.
Perfect. It's in. Right, you're locked.
Replicate the dish.
Their season in North Carolina is a little bit different here. So, you know, they slow down in the winter because their grass goes dormant, obviously, and their plate, you know, drops down a little bit. So, yeah, my season for slow time is probably going to be January, February, and March.
Well, that's actually perfect. And I'm not kidding either. If, you know, later we should, you know, try to, you know, at least ballpark a date and let's make that happen.
Wait, hopefully we'll have the studio by then.
Great. Yeah. 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 We're looking at doing yes, an actual complete production studio where we're going to have like a chef's kitchen. You know, John is going to have a giant photography playroom, you know, the podcast room. Plus, it'll be like an Airbnb sort of for chefs. You know, it's just obviously you don't pay anything. You just come and we do what we got to do. And then you're off. It's like,
I'm in.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And Carl eats.
And I eat.
And Carl eats.
I'm building. You got to understand, like, this whole food media thing that it's just so I can eat. You know?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not the note. Don't think. It's exactly what it is.
It's it.
Yeah.
I found a way to get the goods. Okay? I found a way.
We're laughing at John. Oops.
Okay.
He didn't have canned ravioli.
No. He's like, screw, no ravioli. Screw you guys. I'm out of here.
Jason, do you want to go over the canned ravioli?
Yeah, so just initially when we were discussing this competition and we were talking about what products could be used in the competition, and they all had to be, it was Florida, correct?
Yeah.
Florida.
So initially there was talk, it can only be 100 miles from where we were.
100 miles, yeah. So I was being sarcastic and saying, so if I want to bring canned ravioli, that's okay. And they said, well, don't you dare bring canned ravioli.
But. No, it can only be from Pig Wiggly or something.
He said Winn-Dixie, actually.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think he meant that. So,
so. Yeah, but what really happened was it was only the five major or six ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah, the main. Then we can have other ancillary items wherever. Yeah.
I mean, that Happy Tales pork was beautiful. So we had the pork, the bacon, we had the green cabbage was beautiful. And what was the one I'm missing? The Chinese broccoli.
Yeah, that was the only thing that they didn't have extras of. And thank God I brought extras because he wouldn't have had any.
Yeah, so I'm like looking for this product and Jeffrey had it in his cooler once again. And I was like, how is it that he's in the competition and he's holding the product? I'm like, this is a scam. If he beats me, it's all crooked.
No. And I didn't. What's funny is like we had this beautiful 10-bone French rack that I denutered for the loin chops. And I'm like, here, this is only 10. And then I've got four extra that she had given me so that we can have at least four portions. Lance and Jason out the door. I'm like, oh, that was great, guys.
Yeah, but yours looked prime and they were vacuum sealed. They were like sous vide already. Like he already has all this stuff ready to go.
He had prepared everything ahead of time.
No. I'm peeling potatoes and, you know.
I peeled my potatoes.
By the way, everybody, you know, Chef Lance Cook, when you're at his status, he doesn't even have to say goodbye. He just goes.
He just cuts out.
No, we had a technical thing and he actually has to, he had to jump anyhow. So we appreciate that he was on the show.
He's a busy man. Canned ravioli.
Did he tell you that? Explain that.
So we already knew setting this up that Lance had to go during a certain point in time. So we asked him to do the secret code word and we had a whole bunch.
Safe word.
So it was press and seal. It was this, it was that. So we decided on canned ravioli.
So he was supposed to randomly, when he had to actually leave, he was going to say, hey guys, canned ravioli. And then we know that it was time.
Hey, so yeah. While Lance is off, which is, let me just talk about him real quick. So when we went to the CMC exam, I'm just saying this, I'm very real. I wasn't exactly intimidated by anybody else at the exam. And I'm not knocking anybody there because I really didn't know anybody there other than the great Lance Cook. So here I am coming into CMC. I'm looking at him, you know, anyway, throughout the experience, I got to know him, a really great guy. I mean, like he's very humble, no ego, very great guy. And it was good to get to know him. And that, I think that's half of it. You're talking about the nerves aspect. And when you're coming in, sometimes it's not even about the environment or what are we doing or what are we cooking or what's the competition. It's literally the peer aspect, like you were mentioning. You know, how do we look at individuals? How do people look at us? And I think we spend too much time on this in our life sometimes, worrying about what people think about us or what we think about other people. And it really is a competition within ourselves. And it's really the best way to look at it.
Yeah, right after we got done, I mean, he was making some comments, and I saw this thing with Gordon Ramsay, and it was three things that you, when you're a chef, you should do. One of them was take it professionally.
Yeah.
What he meant by that is get judged by your peers, and whatever they say to you, don't take it personally. Yeah. Take it professionally.
Yes. Yeah.
The second thing you do, have thick skin.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary you have to have thick skin. Like I said at the beginning of this, when you compete, you're putting yourself out there to get whatever is being said to you. And I have a friend of mine, Cleveland Brown, who is a manager for Kulina Gang, taught me at a very young age. He said, when people ask you something or when you get advice from someone where you're not asking for it, you have the right to say whatever you want. But if you say, hey, how is this? Whatever is said to you, you have to accept. And that's key to it. You have to accept whatever is said to you and you have to grow from it. So that's why this food today is going to be killer.
This is a redemption food?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the judge of that.
It's gold medal. That beef tongue is gold.
Is it gold medal?
We should have got a gold medal.
speaking of gold medal, today, this very day, we're receiving a delivery. Big time packages. Metro, baby.
Well, there's one in my car.
Yeah, you got that, but where the other stuff
see,
is
he's
coming
got it again. Just like the competition. He already had it.
He always does this. I don't understand.
He sneaks it in.
I got to literally get a phone call yesterday. Were you expecting a pallet? I'm like, I was expecting a phone call.
Yeah, they called me, and I thought it was a scam call, it looked like. So I just kept, like, you know, putting it to voicemail, and they kept calling, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, hello, you know? And it was the
Southeast Freight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Metro's great. Everything they make's great.
They're fit. What an awesome bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have, what did you get, Jeff?
I got the Chef Cart mobile cart. It is, I call it the mobile chef toy because this thing has everything. It's a prep station on wheels. Hmm. Then on top of that, you know, so remember how I brought those extenders for the legs, mm-hmm. of the table? This thing actually adjusts.
Wow.
Up and down. It has a cutting board built in, and then you can put third pans and ninth pans and sixth pans on the actual.
You're bringing that out now? I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
Where's it at? Let's get this show over.
It's in the trunk of the car. I mean, right. It's on wheels, and you can. We saw this at the World Food Competition, and I got giddy. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, this is, and I'm like, oh. And then they had a competition where I think it was John McFadden and the Food Ninja dude was, they were doing like a cutting competition who cut faster, and they were just like, whoop, right? I'm like, I want one.
I mean, they got to be like a grand, right? They're not cheap. Yeah.
So again, Metro,
yeah,
amazing shelving. We're doing some work together, you know, between Metro and Walk and Talk, and we're ecstatic. So, you know, John and I, we chose shelving, actual racks. John has all his tablewares and all the things that he uses for photography. I have all this equipment and whatever for the, you know, video and podcast and all the audio. So we're going to be using Metro for that. But now, you know, I look at it, you know, and along with what Jeff, you know, what Jeff is going to bring in here shortly. This is all wonderful. In the world of content creation, mm-hmm. you know, it's more tools to create awesome content.
Yeah.
Especially for amazing companies like Metro. And I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, I'm excited. I can't wait for this thing to get here.
I mean, for me, what I was amazed about Metro, it's what I always thought Metro shelving.
Yeah.
You know, storage. That's it. That's what I want. But they go one step above. They do productivity.
So much more.
And they do that competition that they go in and that you can people compete to get them to come in to do the entire productivity. So they can actually make you faster. And that's why when I was like, does that thing go up and down, like adjust for people's height? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, whoever thought of that, thank you.
Yeah.
So they're really going the extra mile for the chefs of the world to make it easier for us
backs.
To push up. Yeah. So just so everyone knows, we had an 8-foot table, two of them, one behind us, one in front of us. Yeah. Poor Lance. He's 6'3".
He's 10 foot tall.
He has to be to hold all those medals.
Right. Yeah, that's why he's that tall.
So I'm probably a little bit shorter than you, maybe the same size as you as far as height-wise. And we're like, I'm like going with my legs spread out so I can go. And I had these PVC pipes.
Extenders.
I didn't use them because I didn't want an unfair advantage. I only had eight.
You already had all the food ahead of time. Yes. What more advantage did you need?
I didn't touch the food.
I mean, if part of the category should be, does he have table extenders, you know, when they're judging? You probably would have gotten a silver if they saw those PVC pipe painted, like he painstakingly made these things, because he does so much of this, you know, table extenders.
Honest to God, they when I was doing the, when I'd go out, I'd have my tables, flip them up, and then I would put these things on instead of being.
And you had two sets. I was even more impressed that he brought two. And you're like, you want to give some to Lance? And I was like, no. It's like, no, don't help him.
He's already the favorite.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this category where we were, we didn't even have the running water. So that's a huge problem.
Lance reminds sanitizer. Me. Lance reminds me. Hold on a second. I totally did what I said not to do.
Lance reminds you.
He reminds me of John McFadden. They're very similar.
Machine.
A machine. Like as far as like chef attributes, man. Like they're just focused and they just run through it.
Yeah,
get it done.
We had a. It's funny. We actually had a talk like what we were doing, how our dish was to the audience, and then we had a talk once we served. We had a talk to the judges, obviously, and. the banter that was going on. Like, I would look over, and they as soon as I got done, I kind of went out of the way and then went over, looked at Jason. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to tease him yet. I'll wait until he's done. And one part, Hari moved Jason and I out of the way because Lance was using the only oven we had.
Yeah. And I was in Lance's way, and I was trying to clean up, like, get out of there. And Lance is still plating. I was being a little rude, and then I realized, so I should step away. So... not in his way completely, but he had to come down the alley to get to the...
He was thinking about tripping him.
Yeah,
I was.
You were
was
like...
That's why I was cleaning up.
You were the 80s teen villain that would pop their collar on their polo shirt.
For real.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I get it.
By the way, Lance also had the shortest drive home.
No, we got to bring up the glass bricks, though, because that was a topic. Remember, Lance brought the classic, like, 1980s bathroom square glass brick things at all of our...
Yeah, remember Miami Vice? Yeah. He had a whole set.
I don't know.
So anyway, he had his plates built up on it. So when you look in photos, it was his display. Oh, and that's how he smart. Kept them. He had a Sterno under there, right? Yep. That was an old school trick he was doing, keeping them warm. And,
not for nothing, but there's a reason why the guy's, you know.
Silver. Yeah.
Well, you know.
The funniest thing is when you kept on asking me, did you tell Carl?
Oh, that you got bronze?
Yeah, no. I'm like, no.
No, because I was like, let's pretend that you got gold or lie to him or something. Or
I mean, I kept asking.
Yeah, he did.
And there was nothing. I
like, how's it going out there? And I'm like, I'm driving home. I don't want to do that. I have the longest drive.
Wait, I don't know if I was going to bring this up. So you get a little, whatever, down on yourself, right? If you don't get, like, I literally thought I was going to get silver. Shows how much I know. You get the bronze, and I'm standing next to Lance. I'm like, yeah, I got silver, and Lance is gold, right? It really shows how much I know about how it's the rubrics and everything. Anyway, and they say Jason Lynn bronze, and I'm like, I thought I had the silver. So literally leaving, I'm a little depressed, and I hit the Burger King drive-through in Hastings, and Hastings is beautiful, sweet. But the BK was a little rough. You know, some are nicer than others.
That makes you feel better. I've been there.
So anyway, I got the Whopper. You know, they got that weird mayo cream. It's supposed to be mayo, but it's like watery, and the tomatoes are like white. And anyway, I'm wearing my medal in the drive-thru. I'm not making this up. The same medal I'm wearing now. I'm pulling through the drive-thru, and the woman's like, what's up with that medal? And I was like, I got bronze at this cook-off, blah, blah, blah. And I just felt really pathetic in that moment because I'm at the BK drive-thru. I'm getting the Whopper, add cheese.
Versus right now, because you haven't taken the medal off since the event.
So anyway, like I said, BK drive-thru, wearing my medal, feeling crappy, eating the Whopper, feeling even worse. Like when I was done, I was just like, oh, now I'm taking the medal off. So.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
I don't know what to say because I would have been happy at the BK. I would have eaten the BK and be like, you know what, man? I feel pretty good.
We didn't eat. It was time we left, it was 3:30, 3:45 almost.
Yeah, I got there like 9. And
what you should have did is with the Whopper, you always get the order of chicken fries.
Yeah, my wife gets those.
They're good.
Yeah. It's just all that blended process. You never know what it is. Aren't they putting bugs in that stuff now?
Probably.
Yeah, isn't that what Tyson's doing? They're grinding up cockroaches like Soylent Green? No,
I just saw a thing like that. What Ramsay is. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing you don't know. I saw that same plug where Ramsay's backing out. No more Tyson love because they're putting insects in. You don't know if that's real or not.
I wasn't actually going to bring that up on the podcast. I was going to, but I couldn't find any like actual, you know, so I wasn't going to bring it up. But you did.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah. Listen, last year at the ACF National Convention, I actually had him make, I forgot his name now, the chef that was doing it, he was presenting bugs. So I made
I turn around.
Yeah, and we know we can eat these things, chocolate covered grasshoppers, like this stuff's been around for crickets, a long time.
I'd had to grind the kick.
But crickets. If companies are maybe milling and grinding and sneaking this in products, a whole different thing.
Yes. How about the FDA and USDA allow a certain amount of bugs inside the food? Yeah. Legally.
Oh, that's always been like that.
Cockroach falls in. But most people don't.
Right. Most people don't know that.
No.
That's like a Snowpiercer. Here's my sci-fi nerd. That movie Snowpiercer. They're all eating cockroaches. And they just keep grinding them up and they make those black bricks. They look like my Android cell phone and they're all just eating these black Jell-O bricks. So that could be an option too. The black Jell-O brick at BK.
Right.
Well, the veggie brick.
So next week, is that what we're doing?
No.
Black veggie brick. I'm going
to
make
I don't subscribe to any of this. And yes. I want what I want, and I want what I want.
It's funny. At one point, we had got done. We were cleaning up. We all had turned in our stuff. Lance looks at me. He goes, "How do you feel?" I go, "Bronzy."
That's right. He didn't say that.
My intestines are a little bronzy right now.
He goes,
now.
"How do you know?" I go, "I just know." And it was just one of those things. It is what it is. And
Jeff, I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah.
You got to put yourself out there. You
I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying. You weren't wearing any walk and talk gear when you only got the bronze, though, right?
Yes, I did.
While we're talking about that kind of just that general topic real quick, you said, Jeff, I'm proud of you. There's one thing, too. You have to think about what Jeff does every week. What you guys do every week is you legitimately put it out there. You produce this product. I'm watching, I'm looking into the kitchen right now. I'm seeing the mise. I'm seeing it get ready to put together. There are so many chefs that act like they have this clout or they think they're the greatest thing and they can't throw down or they can't do it or they can't produce it or week after week they can't go out there. And that's what you guys do. That's what Chef Jeffrey does.
Let me just say something.
Week after week.
Week after week. So here's what Jeff impresses me so much when it comes to the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
His execution sucks. No, I'm kidding. The creativity, like he comes up with these ideas real fast, mm-hmm. and then he executes, and then you're like, wow, I don't even know how you know.
Well, he probably gets a little bit out there too. Now there's a certain big agency.
He's definitely out there.
There's a chef's group that's in America. I'm not going to say their name. That's kind of against sometimes too out there. If you get too mash up or a little too crazy.
It's true.
He's speaking confusion.
Yeah. He's speaking the truth.
I've been told fusion confusion many times. And there are times that I'm an idiot. Why did I pair those things? This is horrible. But I think we have to keep pushing those boundaries. I think as chefs.
Right. So I'm just saying, I think we're real blessed to have, Jeff on the show mm-hmm. and in capacity and what we're doing.
Because definitely.
He just comes through with amazing, amazing, amazing stuff.
No wonder he's got bags under his eyes and he's always talking about mental health and stress. Because every week he's got to make you happy and come up with a new dish.
You got to feed
me. Well, yeah.
How about
this is worse than any ACF, lab coat critiquing chef.
How about the guy to my right of me? The night before, 2 nights ago.
Let's talk about John.
Right.
John.
Can we do a dessert? Sure. We can do a dessert.
Yeah. Whenever I call Jeff, if I call Jeff during the day, I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, man. I'm like, okay, what's up? He's just doing prep. I'm doing prep. At the store, because I'm going to do prep. And I'm like, okay.
Jeffrey's really the only one that works out of you three. Just like we're at a private club setting. You're the general manager, Carl. You're the activities director, John. And you're the executive chef, Jeffrey, doing all the work. No, I'm not kidding, but really.
Jason can come back anytime.
So, I'm just kidding.
Of course. Well, listen. There's really no truth. It makes sense, but there's no truth.
Carl opens his opening line, right? He writes that. What did he say? Opens the laptop. What else?
What Daddy does, it puts it all together.
Yeah.
And then obviously,
did you just call yourself Daddy?
I did. So
just lost everyone.
No, everybody loves that. Listen. So, but hold on. I was just going to be complimentary.
No, Daddy.
I was going to be complimentary to it because the reality is, none of this works.
Yeah.
Unless these guys. Because I can't do what they do.
No.
You can't do. Well, you can kind of do what he does.
But some, yeah.
Yeah.
He can definitely do
it. I can't cook any Jewish food, though.
Well, you can.
Like Menachem.
That's what I love when he brings in is his.
That's it.
He brings in his heritage and nationality, which is cool. Because, I'm not going to be. You don't really see a lot of Jewish restaurants, right? Like, hey, did you see that new Jewish place that opened? You don't really hear that a lot.
Not a lot of delis here anymore, either.
Well, people in Florida don't want real delis.
No.
People in Florida think Publix is a deli. And I love Publix. They're great and all. But I am from up north, and this is a hot topic for me. Because I owned a Frank's Deli and Cafe in Port St. Lucie. And I wanted to give them mortadella, you know, liverwurst, like all this stuff, and their brains were going to explode because South Florida wants ham, turkey, roast beef. You know, they're Publix trained. Oh, maybe I'll get the Italian today. Let's go the buffalo chicken deal. Wow, we're really going to spice it up.
You know, I like the buffalo chicken.
Florida doesn't even know what a deli is.
No, it's true.
Did Publix hurt you, huh?
Said Publix, yeah, I don't like them. Publix cakes stink, too. I'm holding, Publix.com. Publix, hold on. People are listening to me.
I'm holding up this doll. Just point where Publix. Publix.
Okay. Where Publix hurt
It's you. The northern Yankee in me. I moved down here. People are like, Publix, it's the greatest place. They got cakes and hoagies and boo, boo, boo. I'm like, no, that's not.
You remember that place back when then? It's called Josie's on 46th Avenue and Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
That was a deli, you know. Yeah. You walk in and there was Johnny and Joey right there with his son, and they were slicing the meats. And yeah, they want chicken parm. You got veal parm. You want
the gravy. Yeah, if there's not piles of, like, you know, cutlets breaded in some sort, like, in the, it's not a, really a deli.
No.
Yeah. Oh well.
Whatever.
Okay. Kiss the. I don't think it would have ever happened, John. John says. Hey, kiss the public sponsorship goodbye.
Well, I'm not a part of Walk and Talk. I'm speaking on behalf of Chef Jason Lin, CDM.
Jason F. and Lin over here.
No, Publix, you have your points too, though. So,
my goodness. I just want to say that we love Publix.
No, Publix is. I secretly hate Publix because they are so org. You know, their shelves are so fronted. And that's the biggest thing I would say to young, like, organizing people, make it look like Publix. Yeah. Make it look like Publix.
Yeah, I mean, you're more of a Dollar General shop.
Yeah, like when you're Dixie, you know, some Bravo, you know.
Yeah.
When you're looking at your storeroom as a chef, when you're looking at your inventory, wherever it is, you always want to have it where everything's front and center. The labels are front and center. When you go home, you want everything front and center. And your family's like, why are you so anal about this? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's just as ridiculous. This is too military.
It's hard to turn off sometimes.
You can't.
And that's what's
been. We can tell that you were a Publix stock boy when you were growing up.
I worked at Publix when I was 14.
Yeah, the difference. I worked at Winn-Dixie, right? Mm-hmm. So you can see the differences here. Mm-hmm. We don't care.
Well, I actually worked at 164, which is the old Bennigan's Sheridan Street, the original one. Daniel Pohl. Yeah. Funny story. I actually lifted up with another Publix worker. We had to lift up a car because the jack didn't go. It was a Datsun 210 and there was a flat tire. We had to change it. We had to lift up the car while somebody else put the tire on. Yeah, it was my old. I never got tipped because you couldn't tip.
I like to try to tip the bagger, the car people, like during the holidays, and they taint. But you can test them because once in a while they'll take it.
At Winn-Dixie, it was like, take it whatever. Yeah. You would be like, hey, like, you put your hand out, you know, like, hey,
where's this? Well, I used to love Winn. It was the beef people back in the day. Winn-Dixie was the bomb. And now what, Aldi, right? Bought Winn-Dixie? No,
Winn-Dixie's still all AP grocers.
Yeah, but no,
it was Aldi Southeast groceries, but then Aldi, bought them.
Yeah. Not, I don't know if they bought them all, but they bought a bunch load of them.
Some they're going to convert to Aldi's and some they're going to keep Winn-Dixie.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
I always feel rich when I'm in Winn-Dixie, though. Like, when I walk around Winn-Dixie, I always feel like I can buy all of this.
I'm glad this is at the end. I don't know if it is.
Look at that Natty Ice on sale, $1.99.
Wow. And you got all your... Nah, I'm not going to say it. All right, so, John,
don't forget, you got to have your Winn-Dixie card. That's how you get the deals. If you don't have the card, they charge you, like, the normal price.
I know. Well, it's the same at the CVS or whatever.
Yeah, Walgreens. They're working us.
Yeah. Look at a good price. Wow, do you have your number? And I got to put my wife's number in there. You know? She gets all the points.
What was the one that just Bed Bath & Beyond was like that? Remember if you had the coupon and then they put the expiration date on it? And
I used to pick them up like on the sidewalk walking in.
Those bastards. All right. All right. Jeff, Jason, John, you guys are awesome. Lance, if you make it this far or if you listen to this at all, thanks for being on the show.
Canned ravioli.
Lance had to dip out.
AJ, Brianna over at Metro, you all are awesome.
Tina Davis,
and Chef's Peninsula Food Service. Don't forget about it. Central Florida.
Also, huge shout out to Tina Atkins, Larry, and Amy for coming out to support Jason and I from Sweetwater and
AG Family Farms.
They went up there,
I love them.
They actually changed their dates to watch Jason and I compete.
No kidding.
Yeah. I was looking for Jeffrey's entourage. That was some of it, but.
All right, listen, we got to roll. We are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.